Mishnah. So now we're going to be discussing the types of things that, again, are semi-yeshlehem beit kibul, depending on the usage. And remember that that's been the theme of this parak, that there are two things that are very similar, and yet in certain circumstances are defined by certain ownership. They have a din of a kli, and in other circumstances or other ownership, they don't have a din of a kli. So over here, we're going to be talking about a rachat. A rachat is a type of shovel. It's more like a rake kind of thing, which is just, or more like a hoe kind of thing. And it depends how it's used. Sometimes it's used to scoop things up. And if it scoops things up, then it's considered to be a beit kibul. So even though it's open on the sides and so on, but if it's a rachat shogoro sot, it's people that you need to grind these beans. So then it's tamea because you have to scoop it up and then you put it into the mill directly from the rachat. But if you're using it for grain over there, it is not used to scoop it up. It's used to gather it all together in one place and then it's scooped up. So then it does not have, then it's sweeping. It's not scooping. Then the same thing is true. What about a rachat of a wine press? Okay, so if it's in a gut, so then you use it to skim off any of the pieces. There might be seeds of the grapes, there might be pieces of skin that are on the top of the liquid. So over there, you do scoop it. But if you have that same rachat, but it's now set to be used as a garon on the threshing floor, where over there it's used for sweeping and making a big pile of grain, it's not scooping. So it could be the same kli set aside for different purposes, and that gives it different dinim. The klal being, Zaklal, Asuila Kabbalah Tameh, if its function is to scoop, then it's Tameh. If its function is to gather, meaning to sweep it up, then it's Tahar. But you'll say, but it can hold things. Yes, it can hold things, but that's not what it's for. And we always use what it's for to define things. Now, the next Mishnah is a lovely Mishnah that discusses what?
From the images here in the book, I'd like to suggest that raking might be better than sweeping because it's just gathering. There's no sense of putting it together. It's just moving it. That's the way it looks. More like raking than sweeping.
I'm not sure I understand the difference, but I said raking. I said it's like a rake. When it's doing a function of sweeping, then it's not doing a function of holding. Sweep means just to pull together. It's nothing to do with the way that it's soft or anything like that. That's not the point. Okay. I won't change my language for that. But you're certainly welcome to say it over that way. Nivle. So the next Mishnah discusses busking. Now that's a very interesting thing. Many of the people were buskers. So if you were a musician, you made your living by getting out there on the street and busking. Okay. You know, they weren't going to hire you for a wedding band or anything. So where did you put the money? Aha. So nowadays, every busker's got a chop. He puts the money in the tick of his musical instrument, right? So you open up your violin case, you sit there playing the violin, and people are supposed to throw the money into the violin case. But that wasn't the way that
they
did it.
That's what I used.
Sorry?
I used my guitar case.
Who are you?
I am Bobby.
Why are you Red Me if you're Bob?
I don't know. I just opened up that way. I don't know. I'm sorry.
You know, this is why it's always useful to allow us to see you. Okay. I hear you. So what do you use when you busk and what do you play? I never knew you played.
I use my guitar case. Guitar.
You use your guitar case.
On Rehov Ben Yehuda.
Please let me know your next location.
Okay.
All right. So now, interestingly enough, in those days, what they would do with the money that people threw them for their busking is they would, it sounds absolutely crazy, but they would put it into the instruments. If they've got, you know, they've got the hole that's there in order to allow the sound out of the instrument, that was a perfect hole for throwing your coins into, right? So because of that, if you have a lute, nivlei ha'shara, you've got a lute that is used for for a singer. So it's like a small lute, and the main thing he was doing was singing. So that would be tame, because people would actually use the opening for a place to put in the money. But obviously, if you're a serious musician and you're a Nevel that is owned by B'nai Levi in the Beis HaMikdash, those are completely tahar because they are not used for holding anything. And because of that, they are clay eights. And this is an example of the idea in a much deeper way of the Mishnah we just had before. The kli may be able to hold things, but that does not mean it's not shute kli eights. You obviously do not hold your guitar to put things inside of it. That's nuts. And therefore, you would by no stretch of the imagination view a guitar as being anything but shute kli eights, and therefore it would be tahar. So here we have again the kind of difference that we had between a nachtom and a balabayit. Here we have a difference between a Levi and another people. Another example of such a thing is that mashkin in general, remember we have the Shiva mashkin, the Yad Dam Shachat is your simen. We're talking about that in Shabbos also today. So all over the world, these things are tameh, but in the Beis HaMikdash, these things are tor because of Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, and they cannot even be the machshirim for Kabbalah Stuma, which the Shiva Mashkim serve, that when they touch something, they make it ro'oi to be Mekabal Tuma. Now, there's another fascinating halacha, really weird halacha, like it sounds like on the surface, and that is Un Azder Rebbe Shlov, Un Azder Rebbe Shlov. So what is that weird halacha? That if you touch a Sefer Torah, or you touch one of the Chof Dalet Svarim of Tanakh, it's the craziest thing, your hands become tummy. And if you would touch truma, you would be metame the truma. And if truma touches a sefer of any kind, of the Chof Dalet Svarim, the truma becomes tummy. What in the world is that all about? That's because there was a gezeira that we're going to be getting to in Shabbos, actually, which is where we're up to. There was a gezeira that because people would think, and this is the way, again, it's like the primitive people that come to shul, and to them, oh, truma is kadesh, Sefer Torah is kadesh. What better place to put truma than in the Aron Kadesh with the Sefer Torah? And of course, what this would do is it would cause rats to come to the into the Sifrei Kadesh, into the Aron HaKadesh, and damage this forum. So because of that, and in order to make a distinction that people should have enough brains to make anyway, so Chazal were mitaken that dafka touching a sefer will destroy truma. You can't have truma around the sefer. So in all places, kol asfarim mitamim atayadayim. But the sefer in the Azora, which the sefer, that was the sefer Torah that the Melech reads during Hakel, and that the Kohen Gadol would read during Yom Kippur, those are no possibility of their ever being put into that kind of situation. And to distinguish them from other Sepharim, they were not gezer tumas yadayim on them. So, okay, we're bringing again just the idea of, since we made a difference between Levim and normal people, we want to talk about other things that we make a difference between the Beis HaMikdash and normal places. But now we're going to go back to the different types of musical instruments. And musical instruments often go hand in hand, again, especially if we're talking about busking. Musical instruments often went hand in hand with other entertainment items. And one of the things that people would do would be they would do clowning, which today is also very popular, although now it's more limited to hospitals and so on. But you can actually get a degree in clowning, or you can get a... Richie, what did Mika get to be a clown, a professional clown? Was it a degree? Yeah, it,
some sort of, what do you call it? They do a course, they have a little test. She never really followed up on it, but you get a license. I don't know.
A license. Okay, anyway, but the hospitals value this because it gets the patients feeling happier about life. So they would often come in with props. And one of the props was a wooden horse. You know, so they would be like a clown and pretend to be riding on their horse and do all kinds of funny things with it. So that's called a markov. A markov is tor, because even though it's a complicated thing, it does not have a bas kibbul. A bat nun. Now, a bat nun is some, I have no idea what these are, but I mean, the Rambam says it's a large, oh, we've got Naftali there. I can actually make that spotlight that video. I think. Yeah. Does that work for you or just for me? Well, it'll work for the recording anyway. So, cancel that. Go back to being Naftali. Not letting me, okay. All right, so what that is, it's some kind of string instrument that is so large that it needed to be put onto your lap. So it was called a beten, so to speak, because it's always on your tummy. And so because of that, they call it a bat nun. And a niktimon, which sounds like amputation. And it was, in fact, a type of instrument that looked like a wooden leg or an erus, which is a kind of tambourine. These can all become tame because they also are used for holding these coins in, and they can be used as real clay kibbul. So you can turn it upside down, and you put things in it, and so on. And these are not professionals. These are clowns. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's more than that. An erus can become tame even as a moshav, because if someone who is a zov would sit on it, it would be tame. So you'll say, well, how in the world would somebody sit on a tambourine? Because there were women that used to go around that were called ayaliyot, and their job was to be moaning and groaning and crying at funerals. You think we have it bad today. Imagine if you actually hired people to do this kind of stuff. And this was very popular. And so they would get sort of tired, these women, of all the crying. You know, this is my 15th funeral today, for God's sake. So she would sit down on her tambourine. So it was actually used as a moshav, v'pesha alayit yoshevet alav. And you want to get another difference. Forget about the difference between a nachtom and a balabayit and a levi and a commoner. It makes a big difference whether you are a rat or whether you are a mouse. Uh-huh. And the difference is that a trap for a rat has the din of a kli with a beit kibul, whereas a normal mouse trap is flat and doesn't have a beit kibul. It'll catch the tail of the mouse, but it won't come down over to hold it. So because of that, a mitzudat achulda is tmiyah, and a mitzudah of an achbar is tahar. And with that, we finish the 15th parak of Kelim. Lovely, gentlemen, that was great. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful day. Shmira mi'ula mi'lamala. Kol ha'machala she'esamti ha'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, but asimim alo yevecha. And there's lots of people out there who, as Gilbert and Sullivan point out, they never will be missed. They never will be missed. So if you've got a list, now is the time to submit your list.